The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen. Daf Ayin Dalet. Perek HaMocher Tasefina. Today's daf is being studied in the Shvat Avram Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanechanu v'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin Gimel Amud Bet. And we are starting with Amar Li. Okay, it's the last line in Ayin Gimel. We're continuing the stories of Rabba Bar Hana. Okay, this is the 12th story in the series over here. Amar Li, so he continues. He's talking about there was a certain Ishmaeli, an Arab, that told the rabbi, Ta Ahve Lach Mete Midbar. Come, I'm going to show you the people that died in the Midbar. From the 40 years in the Midbar, I'm going to show you them. Azle Hastinhu. He went and he showed them to him. Vedamu keman de mibasme, and it looked like they were drunk, the people that died in Midbar. Veganu aparkid, and they were lying on their backs. Vava zikifa birked had mina. One of the legs of one of them was elevated, his thigh like. Va'il tayat utebirke, and the Arab was able to go underneath his leg. It was so high, he was able to go. Kirachib gavna, when he was on a camel, uskifarum he, and his spear was drawn. We held it, so there was a lot of space between the guy's leg that was up and the ground. Lo nagabe, and still he wasn't able to touch the guy's leg. Anyway, besiki chadakana detchalta dehad minayu. So he says, Rabba went and he cut the corner of the talit of one of the metemid bar. He cut it. Once he cut it, they weren't able to move anymore. See, they were locked in their position. They couldn't move. Amadi Sur Ishmael told the rabbi, Dilma Shakat Bidiminayu, did you take anything from them? That's why. He says, Ahadere, you better give it back. The Gemiri, we have a tradition, demand the Shakil Midiminayu. Anybody that takes anything from the Metemid Bar, lo Mr. Gid, he won't be able to move. Anyway, Azle Ahadirte. I went and I returned the corner back to them. Vada Mr. Gid, now we were able to move. When I got to the rabbis and I told them what happened, Amrudi, call Abba Hamra. Anybody that's name is Abba is a Hamor. Rabba's real name was Abba. So they said, all Abbas are Hamors. They call Barbar Hanna. Anybody that's called Barbar Hanna, that's called Barbar Hanna, Sikhsa is a Shote. Which is, they're basically telling him, you blew it. Why? Why did you cut the corner of the garment of the of these people? Lemeda ikebet shamai ikebet elel, because she wanted to know who the halakha is like when it comes to the laws of seceit. Because according to bet shamai, you put four strings in the corner in order to make it eight. According to bet elel, you put three strings in the corner to make it six. So you want to see who the halakha is like. That's why you cut it off. He says, and what happened? He ended up returning it. So you didn't bring it to us. That's why you wanted to bring it to us, to show us what Al-Qa is like. So you still didn't fulfill your purpose. If you should have counted it before you put it back. So you come along and tell us exactly how many strings they put in this seat in the door of Midbar, so we know. So would you put it back for without analyzing it for? So they told them, you didn't do good. Okay, now let's see the story over here. What's going on with this story? By the way, this is where they get the minhag, that they bury the dead with a talit on. Till today, in Eretz Yisrael, over here, they wrap the dead person in a talit. Like you see in the story of the Metei Midbar, they had a talit around them. What do they want a talit? They're dead. They're wrapped in a talit. Okay, they posel it. They don't want to be kasher, because they don't do mitzvot. But that's what they do. Okay. No, because the Rabbeinu Tam explains over there that, because the Sisit represents Tariyag Mitzvot. because the seat is 600 gematria, and then you have the 8 strings and the 5 knots, so that's 613. So he says, today that we have Yiridata Dorot, so you're going to say, what, the guy kept all the 613 mitzvot? Nobody really can keep the full 613 mitzvot, so therefore they posel it. To say that, you know, whatever, he did a lot, but he didn't do everything. Okay? Wow. The story of the Gaon of Vilna, before he died, he told the students they should bury him in a regular talit, in a perfect talit. Not like the Minhag. Ulam, b'sha'as shel bishu b'techrichin, when they were putting the techrichin, the shrouds on the Gaon of Vilna, hash otot tamid b'me'av. He got sick. The student got sick with his stomach, and he had to leave. B'ntayim otama anashim sh'tasku bo pastu t'sisit. And the people didn't know what the Gaon of Vilna's will was. Anyway, they were posel the tzitzit, like the regular Minhag. כאשר חזר אותו תמיד לחדר, he started screaming, אך כדור הבנים שבעיר, ראו מעשה זו עוד מן השמיים. That if they didn't allow it to happen, מן השמיים, they didn't want to get on to change from the מנהג, and therefore they kept him in his seat pasul, like everybody else. Okay, the 12-story interpretation. This is referring to מרגלים. Why did the דור המדבר die? Because they sent the spies. המרגלים שלח משה לתור תרס כנען, הוציאו... בשובם את דיבת הארץ רעה. So they came back and they spoke bad about the land. כאשר בני ישראל סירבו לשמוע לדברי קלב בן יפונה ויהושע בן נון, right, those two צדיקים, they spoke good about the land. וקיבלו את לשון הרעה, של המרגלים, except לשון הרעה, נגזר, הם נמות במדבר. והואיב ודור המדבר מת על סקי דיבה, because they spoke out of line, right, except לשון הרעה, they spoke bad about Israel. So therefore, they showed them as they're drunk. When a person is drunk, he's not careful what comes out of his mouth. He speaks things that don't make any sense, and he doesn't care about anything. Nechnas Yayin, yes, I saw. He speaks even things that he shouldn't be. Dayum etibet bar shochvim al gabam the damin le shikurim shebal lashon hara en lo shum toilet. He has no benefit from what he speaks. Kama shikur al azeh shegufot ev. He just wants to drink more. Ach en lo kol hanaam shtiyato. He has no benefit from his drinking. Vehu shochev apragdala megale atzmo kenoah. He lies down naked like Noah. Has no benefit, in the contrary, only gets into trouble. Uberacho shedehad mei ma'ita zikufa diricho, the leg of one of them was elevated. Shedaglo shel ba'al lashon hara tamid zikufa, the leg of the ba'al lashon is always elevated to trample people. If it was bad language, he's able to destroy lives. V'nichnas ha'sohel shmeralim atop the Arab went underneath his leg. Ha'sohel kanu mashal tamidei hachamim. The sohel over here is tamid hacham. That studies Torah, kishur ochev al gamlo. That's his reward. Gamlo is gimul. Gimul is his reward that he gets in Olam Abba. Veromcho and the sword is the milchama of Torah that the Hachamim fight in the Beit Midrash, like the warriors with their sword. And Romach is otiyot Ramach. Ramach is because he keeps the 248 mitzvot aseh. And what? Even the tzaddikim, they get caught under the Lashon Hara of the Rishaim. He's under his leg. Meaning the Rasha will even trample the Tzaddik. He doesn't care. They'll speak Lashon Hara even about the great Tzaddikim. Doesn't matter. But what? They weren't able to affect him. Ve'lo nagabu. Ki Lashon Hara pogat umet v'tam merachok. Ah. Which means the Lashon Hara doesn't have to actually hit the person. You can get him from far without hitting him. Which means Lashon Hara is like a sword. Or like an arrow. You shoot it, right? You don't got to touch the guy. And the arrow does its own. So even though the Lashon didn't touch the Tamir HaKam that was going underneath, still he gets affected. V'gazar t'knaf t'chedet, so he says, I cut the t'chedet off the corner. Kolomar, sh'ratza lerot im yesh t'chlit v'yitron le'ba'ale Lashon Hara. I wanted to see, what's the end of the people that speak Lashon Hara? What's their purpose? V'lo yachonu l'alechet, haynu, mi sh'lamad mehem v'tragel l'alechet l'alechem. Anybody goes after the people that speak Lashon Hara, shuv, enu yachon l'alechet l'alechet Hashem. They cannot go in the way of Hashem anyway. We got locked. Once you adopt the ways of the people that speak Lashon Hara, you cannot go in another way. What do you mean? What's Bet Hillel Bet Shammai? I want to see who the halakha is like when it comes to Sassid. He says, why was Bet Hillel, they had the zechut that the halakha was like them? Because they were humble in the yeshiva. לעומתם בית שמי וקפדנים. They had whatever, כעס. כדי לדעת דרכו של מי עדיף. He want to know which way is better, to be a קפדן like שמי, or to be humble like הלל. היינו למנות את האחותים והאחודיות, האחותים המנים הזה כתוב כחות השני שתפסותייך, שימו מעד עד כמה מפליק הכתוב בשם החלשון. When the lashon is good, it speaks to the Torah, so they compare it to like a purple, beautiful string, ואילו, a red string. ואילו החוליות, בא לנמז על כל חולי, וכל מכה. Jeez, if you use your tongue good, it's like a beautiful string. And if you use your tongue bad, it's like a holy, holiot. That's the holy, all the sicknesses come from this over here. ואם כן, יכול כל בעל שכל ללמוד מכאן, אין יתרון לבעלי הלשון. There's no benefit for the people that speak לשון על ה... Now you have to understand, what does it mean? They call them a hamor, they call them a shote. There's a big rabbi over here. So he explains over here, from some of the Mefashim over here, שלא התכוונו אלא באופן אישי. They didn't refer to him directly. אלא שכמה מקומות בשס מעשינו שהיער נקרא אבא. The yaar, the forest, is called an abba. So what they were saying is, you went to the forest in order to seclude yourself from the people, right? In order to be on a higher level. So he says, אמרו לו שאף הפי שבודדות כזאת אמורה להביא את האדם לידי החוכמה. Even though going into the forest with, you know, being alone, seclusion, supposed to bring a person to higher levels, לא הועילה לו כלום. It didn't benefit you. שכל יער יש בו חמור הרועה שם. They were trying to tell him, כל אבא לחמרה. Says, in the forest there's חמורים, which means instead of going and elevating yourself in the forest, like you should have, you didn't elevate yourself. You should have remembered how much strings are in the seat when you came back. Instead, you cut the seat for a purpose. What was the purpose? To know what halakha is like. You should have done something proper. You didn't finish the job. So they weren't talking to him directly, but they were giving him a little like musar. And instead of going to the forest and having chokmah, you went to the forest and the hamra. Okay, one more story. Number 13. Amar li, so the Arab continues talking to Rabbi Hana. Ta havela har Sinai. Come, I'll show you where har Sinai is. Azlai hazai dadran de akrabai. I went and I saw it was all surrounded by scorpions. Vekaimeh ki hamrei havarti. And they were piled up like white donkeys. Shamati bat kol shomert. I heard a voice that came out and said, Oy li, shenishbahti. Ve'achshav shenishbahti mi meferli. Whoa, the voice said, that I made a swear to exile my nation, and now that I made a swear, I cannot absolve myself from it. Ki atalik rabbanam, he came back to the rabbis, amru li, they said, kol abba hamra, kol barbar hanna siksa. Abba is a hamor, and barbar hanna is a siksa, shote. Why? You're a rabbi, you should have made hafara nedarim, you should have told God, ani mefir. Usabad, dilma shivu'atad mabulu. He thought that God, that the voice was saying over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shivu'ah on the mabul. That's what he's talking about. The mabul won't come anymore. So, v'rabbanan, imken oy lama li. Oy li lama. Why did God say oy? If it was referring to the swear that he made not to bring a flood, why would God say oy li shenishbahti? That's a good swear. But he thought it was talking about the swear of the flood. So why should I make a furan such a flood? So it's a good swear. Okay, what happened in the story? So this is what number 13. Maharsha. Hazal zirunu shatura mitzuve lo lak limana melavura masha asru alenu. Which we not. It's not only forbidden from the Torah to keep away from isurim. Ela sha'alu mechayivin lenkot b'emsaim shonim shalakotar min afsharut l'kasha. You have to keep away even from fences you have to put up. That you shouldn't come to isur. Right? Emsaim elehem me'en geder. A fence like we said. V'chen l'shu hachamim u'shmartem et mishmarti. Asu mishmer l'mishmarti. ובשולם של השקרס לגדולה, ועשו סייג לתורה. Make a fence for the Torah. בגדר זה כוונתם להקנות, לתקנותיהם של הכנס, תקנות החכמים. To keep them a purpose away from the עבירה. העקרבים, so that's הר סיני, is the Torah. The עקרבים around הר סיני, those are the fences. That's the scorpions that protect the mountain. Okay? That's like the תלמידי החכמים. והם מתחמם כנגד עולם של החכמים. The Gemara compares to the חכמים like a scorpion. Okay? והחיצתן, החיצת עקרב. They're surrounding the mountain to protect the mountain with their tekanot. It says, "Rochbe atonot sechorot yoshve al medin." Mevayev the Gemara, "Shu mityas tamidei hachamim." Machmat ra'abonam v'simonam atzumam. The rabbis are very hungry. Lo lelechem v'lo lamayim. Kim Nishmawa, Devar Hashem, they want to hear the word of God. They go from city to city on the Hamurim to rabbi, to spread the Torah, to learn the Torah. The rabbis are like the Hamor, always going from place to place to teach Torah and study Torah. Hamorim, the white donkeys. Why? Because the depth of the Hakamim, him tekanim tekanot, umamadim the Torah al tilla. They clarify the Torah to their tekanot, and they make the Torah bright like a white, like a whiteness, which is clear. Nimsah shema akrabim muskalim kan. Okay? So that's Tamid al-Hakamim. What happened? Anyway, he thought, so the rabbis told him, you should have made Hafarat Nedarim. He thought it was a good Shavua. They told him it was a good Shavua. Why did God say, oily? So what happened over there? And he says like this. L'chal mabul she'chliv et ha'olam b'mei Noach. God promised not to bring another flood. Okay, we saw that. But for Shivilashon Oidi, Master Shabunukhi becomes Ta'ir. Matsa'ar Yishbekach. Ela must have been a Shivwa on the Galut. Okay, so that's why he didn't make Hafarah. But it seems that the rabbis were telling him, you could have made Hafarah. If he would have made Hafarah, it could have been God would have done away with his vow against the exile. So he says, Tosfot says over here, תוספות תמוש שמצילו מסכת חגיגה שקדוש ברוך הוא יפה לעצות נדרו מדוע אם כן אומר אוילי ואינו מפיל את נדרו God himself can make הפרה נדרים על הזאת נדר ויש מי שביעה שרבה ברבחנה לא הפך כזו שבועתו לפי שכך הוא הבין את טענת הבת קול אוילי שנשבעתי כבר על המבול שבשלמה אילו לא נשבעתי על המבול If I didn't make a שבועה against the מבול הייתי מפר לי בעצמי את שבועת הגלות I myself would have absolved from the Galut swear. אבל עכשיו שנשבעתי שלא להביא מבול, but now that I swore not to bring a mabul, if I'm going to get rid of this Shavua of the Galut, I have to get rid of the other Shavua. I can't select the Shavuot, because Midat Adin is going to come along and say, what, this Shavua you got rid of, the mabul you didn't get rid of? Therefore he said, I'm stuck. Kivyachol. Once I made the Shavua of the mabul, I can't get rid of the Shavua of the... So that's what he was saying. Oily. That's what he understood, Rabbah. So if I can make a farah on this, if I make a farah on this, it's going to cause the Midat Adin to make a farah on the... And the Mabul one. So that's what Borei Olam is saying. Oily that I made the Shavua and the Mabul, therefore you cannot make Hafara on the other one because it's going to cause a result. Negative. So we continue the 14th story of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Amar Li says, one time an Arab told me, Ishmael told me, Ta Ahve Lag Bilu'e Korach. Come, I'm going to show you the place where Korach is buried. Korach and his Adato. He says, I saw two cracks in the ground. There was smoke coming out of the cracks. So he took a bundle of tzemer, of wool, and he doused it in water. And he thrusted it at the tip of a romach, of a sword, of a spear. Ve'ailed hatam. And he put the spear next to the...
Into the
crack. Into the cracks where the smoke was coming. Ve'chi apik hava ehrach ehruche. When I took it out, it was all singed. Which means, even though it was wet and everything, still it caught from the heat that was coming out of this, the heat of the Gehinnom. Amar li atzit mai shamat. He said, listen, what do you hear? And I heard a voice coming from the ground. Moshe v'Torato emet v'hen baddain. Moshe and his Torah is emet, and they are the liars. Amar li, so the Ishmael said to him, the Ishmaeli told him, Kol taltin yome madal lehu gehinam lehacha. Every 30 days, the Gehinam brings them back to this place over here, or turns them around, turns them upside down, kebasar bekalachat, like a basar, like a piece of meat in the pot, where you keep on flipping it up and turning over. Every 30 days they turn them over, they in the Gehinnom. Okay, so it gets cooked from all sides. Ve'amre hache, and they say, Moshe v'torato emet v'hen baddain. Now, on this story over here, we can take it literally, but there's one point that I want to make on this story. What does it mean that they
turn them over like a piece of meat in the basar, a basar in the pot, every 30 days. What is the lesson of that? Interesting, if you look at the Rashbam goes out of his way to say, kol taltin yomin, kol rosh chodesh. Now, who told the Rashbam it's rosh chodesh? 30 days could be every 15th of the month, you know, every 12th of the month. It doesn't say anywhere it was rosh chodesh. So explanation is like this. When, what was Korach thinking when he went against Moshe Rabbeinu? Korach knows that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen. This is nothing to argue. This was common knowledge. And he's going to come now and question Aharon's position. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu does, Borei Olam tells him to do. So explanation is, he came along like this. He came with a claim of Rosh Chodesh. What's the claim of Rosh Chodesh? He said, in Rosh Chodesh, who makes Rosh Chodesh? The Hakamim decide Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that even if the Hakamim are wrong on the decision of when Rosh Chodesh is, the Pasuk says, Elle mu'adei Hashem asher tikru otam, atikre otam ela atem. It's your call. Afilu shogegim, afilu mezidim. Borei Olam agrees to the mistakes of the Hakamim. So Korach says, just because you picked him, and just because Aharon, let's say, God didn't say anything, that's like Rosh Chodesh. You're wrong. So even when you're wrong, you're right. But that's no ra'ya. I'm really the one that should be chosen. I'm challenging on it. You made a mistake, but God agrees with the tzaddikim when they make mistakes. It's man Rosh Chodesh. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu answer? Moshe Rabbeinu answers him, Boker v'yoda. He says, no, this is not like Rosh Chodesh. This is like Boker. This is like day and night. Day and night is not decided by the Hakamim. Day and night is a fact. Hakamim don't decide when sunrise is. Sunrise is sunrise. If the Hakamim would come along at 2 o'clock in the morning and say it's sunrise, we don't listen to them. Sunrise has got to be at the exact time. So therefore, the Mahlokah of Korach is coming, Rosh Chodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming, Boker. So therefore, since that was his claim, so look how strict the Midah Keneged Midah is. Every 30 days comes the Rashbam and says, Rosh Chodesh. Those two words, he's coming along to invoke the Midah Keneged Midah. That every Rosh Chodesh, you're using that to bring down Aharon HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, every 30 days, that's the 30-day anniversary of the Mahloket, of the claim of the Mahloket. So therefore, he gets punished. The concept of the meat being flipped over, because he wanted to make that simple, Midah Keneged Midah. He wanted to turn over the leadership, so therefore, like a piece of basar, they turn him upside down as well. Amar Li, next story. So Ishmael, he told him, come, I'm going to show you where the sky and the earth meet. I went to a place and I saw the area of the sky where there was like windows in the sky. So I took my basket of bread and I placed it on one of the window sills in the rakia. I went to pray. When I came back, the basket was gone. Amin Ali, so I told Ishmael, Ika ganaviacha, what is ganavi over here? I put my basket in the window, it's gone. Amali, I galgaladir ki'a, udehada. No, the galgalim are moving. So therefore, it's in a different place, your piece of bread. Wait here till tomorrow. Netar ad lemacharacha, mashkaada. Wait till tomorrow when it comes around again, and you'll see that it'll come back to the same spot. Okay, what's the musar of this story? So there's a rabbi over here, the Gra, Gaon Mevilna. The Socher Ishmaili, that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is trying to sell the people bad business, bad sechorot, which means he has certain business, the Yetzer Hara. He wants to go against the people that are studying Torah. The people that study Torah, their mind is on spiritual things. And that's what they take with them to the Olam Abba. And it saves them Gehinnam. That's their eternity. So these people over here, the Yetzer Hara, how's he going to get them? They're so focused on their learning and on their Olam Abba, so he's got to get them. What does he do? He doesn't say to leave the learning. He knows if he says to leave the learning, there's no way they're leaving the learning. He comes with a sweet language. He tells the Tamid HaKam, Adrabah,
Hamshichu l'mod ulamed. Learn, teach. You're doing a good job. Kayim mitzvot, asim tovim. Ela she'ela yesh li alechem. But I have one question. Hayim asur l'tamid alechem she'enei gam ba'olam hazeh? Why, it's forbidden for tamid alechem to have pleasure in this world? Then he comes in like that. Why, it's asur to enjoy yourself. Madu ashtotenu mituv shnei olamot. God created the world. Enjoy it, this world and the next world. So he tries to show them where Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa are joined. And he says, you can have both. You can have Olam HaZeh, you can have Olam HaBa. Okay. So now, Rabbah shama ta'anat ha-yetzer. So Rabbah listened to it. Halak lenasot at darko, he went to try. Ulam, hu nukhak le'edat she'en atzlachat ben adam ben yirei Olam HaZeh tiliyah b'shtadut. Your success monetarily in this world is not dependent on hishtadut, on your efforts. The mafteh of the Parnasah, the Yerushalmi says, is in the hands of Borei Olam. He doesn't give it to a shaliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo poteach et she'edu al-chama poteach et she'edecha u'masbi'a l'kol hay ratzon u'masbi'a l'kol hay ratzon. Nechasim gashmim ve'osher hem matanot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parnasah is all a gift from God. Davar ze katub b'Torah, it's written many times. Yiftach Hashem lecha tosaru atov u'bachanun yina bazot im lo yiftach lechem b'tarabot ha'shamayim v'arikutu lechem b'rechad bedidai. ברכת השם היא תעשיר, עוד יש פסוקים. ועל זאת אנו מתפללים שכן יסד הפייטן, אוקיי, כל צום לא, שאלה רבה תפילו. ואלו הם חלונות שראה רבה ברבר חלב ברקיה, what are these windows that he saw in the שמיים, שדרכם מקבל הקדוש ברוך הוא את תפילות ישראל. That's where the תפילות go up to those windows. ומשם הוא משפיע עליהם מזונות. From those windows comes down, מזונות וברכה. לאחר שהכיר בכך, when he saw what's going on, הניח רבה את סל הלחם שלו בחלון של השמיים. He took his bread and he put it on the windowsill, which means what? והכוונה היא ששם מפתחו בהשם. He realized, we don't make the panasai, so he put his panasai in the hands of God. מתפלל אליו שיספיק לו את מזונותיו. Fill the basket. He put his basket there, fill the basket for me. וכן אמרו בגמרא, שאלו חכמי אלכסנדר תלמי יהושע בן חנניה, מה יעשה אדם ויתעשר? They asked, what should a person do to become wealthy? וישיב להם, ירבה בסחורה, do a lot of business, וישא וייתן, when I be honest, אמרו לו, הרבה עשו כן ולא העילו. Being honest and working hard doesn't always work. אלא יבקש רחמים ממי שהעושר לו. You gotta pray to בורי עולם, the עושר belongs to him. And then, בשביל שלא די בזה, בלא זה. השתדלות and אמונה is very good. But you also have to pray. ואכן, כן עשה רבה ברוך הנא. He says, עמד להתפלל. He got up and prayed, למי שהעושר לו. And then what happened? The פרנסה came around. So I was teaching you what over here. אולם הדברים לא התגלגלו כפי ציפיותו ותקוותו, but it didn't pan out like you thought. Why? שביקש את סל פרנסתו, לא מצאו. After he prayed, he went to look for his basket. The basket was gone. רבה ייחס את העלמות הסל למסע ומתן שלו באמונה. He said, maybe I wasn't honest in my business dealings. That's why God took away my פרנסה. לפיכך אמר נראה שיש כאן גנבים. Oh, must be the thieves over here. Jeez, he was looking at himself and said, "Oh, must be the business was not done honestly." So therefore, Eli says, "She'en adavar bechleaken." Pa'amim she'afilu tzaddikim chayim be'on. Even tzaddikim that are honest and good and everything, they have poverty. Meta'amim hakemusim imakados baruchu lebado. This is only God knows why the tzaddikim live in poverty. Sovlim hem ba'olam hazeh ve'rak ba'olam haba mamtin lahem secharam b'shlemut. Lefichach amru l'rabah she'avedat salo, the loss of your basket, lo hayta mamad chosen ne'emato ba'inei masa matan. It's not because you didn't have emunah in God. Ela mahmad galgal rakia. It's the mazal. The galgal moves and it's not meant. ואין לו לצפות לשכר לקיום המצוות בעולם הזה. You're not going to get reward in this world. היום לעשותם ומחר לקבל שכרם. So he says, מעשה זה מלמדנו. What is the מוסר of the story, the moral of the story? שעושר הוא מתנת שמיים. לפיכך נגזר על צדיקים לחיות חיי עוני. Right? Like we see רבי חנינה בן דוסר, רבי שמעון בן יוחאי, when he was in the cave over here. לכל אדם בעולם ניתן תפקיד המיוחד רק לו. God gives everybody a purpose and a mission that's only for him. ובדרך השכחתה פירתי שלוש ברכו על האדם, הוא מעניק לו את כל מה שהוא זקוק לו. You get what you need, not what you want, to fulfill this purpose. אין לנו אפשרות לדעת מהו תפקיד המיוחד של כל אדם בעולם, ולכן אי אפשר לנו להסביר מדוע יש מי שזוכה לעשיר. We really don't know our תפקיד to know why this guy gets ocean and why we get only. So that was yesterday. Yesterday I tried to get the rabbi involved in Parnasah.
And he realized that the Parnassah has nothing to do with his Ishtadut. The Parnassah has got to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if you do everything right, still doesn't mean you're going to get the Parnassah, because God has his private reasons why it works out or not works out. Okay, next story. Rabbi Yohanan Mishta'eh. Rabbi Yohanan tells a story. Zemna Chada Hava Ka'azina B'sfinatai. So one time we were on a boat. V'azina Nahu Chavra. We saw a fish. Da'afkele Reshem Yamai. He stuck his head out of the water. V'damyan Aine Ketres Seare. His eyes look like two moons. V'nafutz Mayam Mitartezime. And water started coming out of his nostrils. Ketrem B'bare De Surah. Like the two rivers in Surah. Okay. Biur of the 16th story comes from the Odelot Ephraim. HaTorah Nimshala L'mayim. Okay, we know that. The Torah is like water. Like it says, Hoy Kod Samay L'chol HaMayim. V'gemara B'sukam B'fareshet She'akavana L'Torah. That's the Torah. HaDag Sh'rosh Mechutz L'mayim. The fish that's out of water, that's Am'aris. Because the Tamin Acham is in the water, it's in the Torah. The fish that has his head out of water, that's Am'aris. He doesn't learn Torah. She'en olam et Torah. Ulam gam adam bur v'am'aris. She'shanim rabot betim in the Buddha Torah. Even if a guy was batlan, for many years he didn't study Torah. Asulo lachshov. He cannot say, well, listen, majority of the years passed, I never went to class, I never studied. It's not for me. No. Ein shum efsharut she'asliya. I'm not going to be successful in my learning. Matzavi u'kava lachar yi'ush. He makes yi'ush already. No. She'kvar amru b'shem ha'chafetz chayim. She'en ze metafkido shel adam la'atzlacha. First, I made a very important lesson, he said. It's not for your obligation to be matzliach. It's your obligation to do. Haslacha is God's business. You just have to put your strong foot forward and do. Im yachlit latmid, if you want to become diligent, even at a late age, v'la'amol b'torah, yatzliach. Hu tzarich lekabel la'atzmo la'shev d'fnei hachamim. You got to accept yourself to go sit next to the rabbis, the hachamim, and learn from them. Like it says, v'ayu einecha ro'ot et morecha. Once you start absorbing the Torah, all of a sudden you're going to shine also like the moon. The moon doesn't have any light from itself. It receives its light from the sun. You also bask in the light of the tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim will shine their light on you, and you'll also shine. So he says like this. Lachar zeman, so he says, Defichach nir'u einaf kishnei yirachim. Hem ra'u et mora v'zaru ma'or shekiblu. Lachar zeman, yehu ba'atzmo kibayana mitkaver. After a while, he himself is going to be a wellspring. That was the water that started to come out of his nostrils, right? He himself started to become Ayana Mitkabir. And it says Ketre Mabare de Surah, like the two yeshivas, the two rivers in Surah. And in Surah, there was two yeshivas, two big yeshivas. So they became great rabbi. So even Amaris, and his head out of the water, there's still hope for him. Let him start at a late age, whatever it is, and let him apply himself next to the tzaddikim, and he himself can grow to become. I never give up. Exactly. That's a pirush. That Torah, you know, domain of Torah. His Torah was compared to the Torah that studied in the great yeshivas in Surah. Okay. Next story, number 17. Rav Safra, Mishtair. Rav Safra told the following story. Zemna chada, hava ka'azlina b'sfinata. One time I was on a boat. The azin nahu kavra. I saw a fish. The afkel reshem yama. Same story. Right? His head was out of the water. Oh, he had horns. The fish had horns. The hakik ale, and it was engraved on the horns of the fish. Ana b'riya kala shebayam. I'm from the small creatures of the yam. V'havina tlat me'ah parse. And I was 300 persaot far from over here. V'azlina lepuma de leviatan. And now I'm going to the mouth of the leviatan. The leviatan is the big fish. Amar v'ashe. Oh, ahu izad yama. This is called the Ez Hayyam, that's the name of the fish. Dibhisha Viitakane. It digs in the ground with its horns in order to find its mezonot. It digs in the ground to get something to eat. Okay, Biur. Who's giving the story over here? Ene Yitzhak. Again, what's a fish out of water? That's Amaris. That's the guy that doesn't study Torah. Okay, like this last story. Ulam Lamaris Shipsipuze Yesh Karnayim. But this Amaris has horns. What does that mean? Shebehenu matkif v'nogeya mituk kena'a, because he's jealous of the Talmidei HaChamim, so therefore he goes and he gores them. Like Rabbi Akiva, when he was Amaris, he used to gore the Talmidei HaChamim. That's what the Amaris does. Ela, she'enu sam lev, sheba'asoto kach, hu rak machriz b'rabim ha'pichu p'chitoto. He doesn't realize that by doing that, he's just broadcasting to everybody how big of an Amaris he is, and how big of an imbecile he is. Harez zeh kemamar HaChamim, kol ha'posel, posel bimumo. Anybody that's posel other people, he's really incriminating himself, right? Like they say, it takes one to know one. So that's what he says. But if Sasha Kanaim, these horns over here of the fish are saying Ani Dag Katan Shebeketanim. That's what he says. I'm the small fish of the sea. That's what it's really saying. Mm-hmm. When a person knocks somebody else, what he's really announcing is I'm a small person. I'm really nothing. Because that's what he does to others. Even though really the guy's not a hashuv guy, he holds that he's a hashuv guy. He says, "Look, I traveled 300 long."
He's saying he's 300 long. He's saying he's big.
He's big. Leviatan. What did it say in the Gemara? Ve'avina tlat me'a parseh. He says, I was 300 persot away from.
I'm
300 persot long and I'm going to the Leviathan?
Yeah.
Into the mouth of the Leviathan. Okay, so let's turn it like that. He's small, but he thinks he's big. Okay. Right. He says, oh, look how big I am. Okay. The Meshchas man. What ends up happening? Yeah, that makes sense because end up the Leviathan is going to eat him.
Exactly.
Tikbari Adam Shetamid Achamim. All these guys that knocked the Tamid Achamim, that's the Leviathan, that's the way, that's the Achamim. Right? What's going to happen? The Leviathan, Yuchal Daga Katan. Ota Ama Ares Gaftan. They're going to get him. So that says that this fish over uses his horns to dig underneath the waters to get his Parnasa. Who Tamid Mechapes et Hasronotem Shel Anashim Achirim. He always looking for the faults of others in order to knock them. That's like his food. There's certain people that live on that. They're looking to find faults in others in order to knock them. So he uses his horns to have panasa, meaning that's his livelihood, so to speak, to knock others. What do we learn from over here? Shesinat ama'aris letamideh hachamim doesn't end. Lo paska me'olam. From Rabbi Akiva till today, they use the kanaim to knock, but at the end of the day, the tamideh hachamim are going to overpower them. By 18. Rabbi Yohanan tells a story. Zimna hada v'kazina b'sfinata. I was on a boat. V'azina nahi kartelita. I saw an argaz. A box. Chest. V'avu kak mekabeba. Abarim tovot mergeliot. That what? There was all beautiful stones and the jewels. V'adrela mine de chavred mekre karsha. But around the argaz, there was like little fish swimming around it. And the fish are called karsha. Nahit. Bar Amorai Latuye. So he sent out a diver in order to go get it. Veragash, and one of the fish started to shake. Uba'il leshamte leatme, and he wanted to cut his leg off. The shada zikad hala, and the diver threw some vinegar on him, on the fish. Venahat, and the smell of the vinegar caused the fish to go away. Nafak bat kala amar lan. A bat call came out and said, "Ma itlichu ba'de kartilita de debitu Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. What are you taking? This argaz over here belongs to the wife of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. It's not yours. The treasure doesn't belong to you." The atida the shadia techelta ba the tzadikir alma that. With this treasure over here, they're going to go buy techelet for the tzitziot for the tzadikim. The atida vo. Okay, what happened over here in the story? Okay, this is number 18, right? So 18, the argaz is a mashal to the great reward that the tzaddikim are going to get in the next world. So it says, on the outside, it was clear that it was mishubat. It had stones on the outside. He knew that it was a treasure from the outside of it. It had all these stones inlaid in the ulam, but the inside was the real treasure. To show you that really you can't see the reward that we're destined to get. A person has an idea of the sakhar, but the pasuk says, "Ayin lo ra'ata Elohim zulatecha." Only God knows the reward of the tzaddikim. She'afilu nevi, even the prophet. So that's the reward that's inside the argaz. That's not revealed. Argaz ya mukaf bedagim. Who's the fish? That's the tamidi hachamim that are in the water that are studying Torah. Una me'ahar shegam bishenu tamidi hachamim meshen dagim. Even the regular guys compared to a fish to a certain degree. What's kasha?
Shem kehoshim v'dalim. These are the fish that are aniim, and they're weak because they're studying Torah all day long. They give up all the pleasures of this world, so that's why these fish were called kachshah. So they're really tamidei achamim. Ve'azvu shemagiel em ne'anu b'prut abalam b'Torah. They wanted to get reward in this world, the tamidei achamim. So the fish are trying to get to the treasure to get the reward, because it says orechamim b'mina u'b'smola osher v'chavod. So they're like osher v'chavod in this world. They want to get in this world. Tamid hacham echad hayodei l'shul b'mayim adirim. So one diver that knew how to go into the waters. Hashav lefol, he wanted to go and get the treasure in this world. Bekach la'kor tatzorek. And what's going to happen? Then you don't need supporters of the Torah anymore. If the Talmidei Chachamim are going to have money and they be rich, you don't need any zevulunz. You don't need anybody to support them, right? So he says, and then what? And then if the Talmidei Chachamim have money, they'll be able to get rid of the Rishaim. That's what it means. He took the chometz, he took the vinegar, and he threw it on the. If I have money, now the Rishaim can't start with the Talmidei Chachamim. Now already the Chachamim have power. He can throw chometz into the eyes of the Rishaim. But what happened? The Ragash, it says the world started to shake. God created the world. The Amaris lives because of the support of Torah. If the Achamim are going to get everything in this world, or we won this world, then all the Amaris are going to get killed because they don't have a zechut to live. So therefore, you can't take that zechut. So therefore, it was shaking the ground over there. And the Bat Kol came along and said, you want wealth in this world? We found a bishul in Yochai. שקנו בחברים שיצא לחוץ לארץ וחזר עשיר. מה עשה רבי שמעון בן יוחאי? The students of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai were jealous of one of the students that became rich. He said, you want richness? He snapped his fingers, the whole valley became filled with gold coins. He said, oh, go take the wealth. But know that you're taking it from Olam Haba. You're taking it from the next world. Right? Whoever takes now, מחלקו של Olam Haba הוא נוטל. And that was the same story of Hanina ben Dosa. If Hanina ben Dosa's wife was complaining, he came home and he gave her a beracha came down from heaven. A leg came down from the heaven of a table, gold. So she said, where'd you get this from? She said, Shemayim gave it to me. I don't want it. Why? Because now everybody's going to have a four-leg table, and our table's going to be three legs, or three legs, now our table's going to be two legs. No, I'm not going to want it. So that's what they were trying to come talk to say. So therefore, v'sipur ze yesh l'mod, שאין קיצורי דרך לשכר בעולם. There's no shortcuts to get the reward in this world over here. ביותו בעולם הזה, היקודם לעמול בהתאם לתפקיד. You have to just do what you're supposed to do, and whatever God gave you in the interim, and your reward is going to be coming. So here comes the question, says, ואם ישאל השואל, הלא מצילו כמה צדיקים ותלמידי החכמים שזכו לשני שולחנות, ויסוד סתם תלמידי החכמים, that Torah and wealth in this world, like רבי אלעזר בן עזריה, the Ben Wakadosh, Rav Asher, says, "Harei yeshnam mitzvot she'adam ochir perotim ba'olam hazeh." There's certain mitzvot that the fruit you get in this world without taking away from Ya'olam Abba. That can't kill Olam Abba. So why did he have to give back the gift? He just could have been from the mitzvot that he was doing that you get. ויש לומר שהנאה מפירות המצווה שאינה מפריטה מן הקרן תתכן רק כשהיא קורית כדרכו מנהגו של עולם. That's only when it happens in a natural way. But the Ez Borei Olam, then already the wife knew, this is not, you're tapping into your sakhar. If it happens to normal way, that Tamei Chachem becomes rich, then you say, Perot Ba'olam Hazeh, Kare Kayeh Vato, La'olam Abba. Okay, a few more stories. The 19th story, Rav Yehuda Hindu'a, Rav Yehuda from Kush, from Ethiopia. Mishtai tells the story, Zemna Chadav Azim Sfirat, I was on a boat. V'chazinahu Eben Taba. I saw there was a beautiful stone. And there was a snake that was surrounding it. So if a diver went down in order to bring this stone, another snake came and shook the boat, and he wanted to swallow the boat. Came a raven, and he chopped the head off of the snake. There was so much blood, all the waters around the boat turned into blood. So the other snake came along, he took the stone that he had, and he put it on his friend that died, and he came alive again. I mean, the stone made the other snake. So the snake came again, now he wants to swallow the boat again. came a bird again and cut his head off. After that, Shaknu alai ibn taba shadu al sfinata. So now a diver went in and he took the stone after the snake died somehow. So he took the stone, put it on the boat. We had certain birds that were salted. They were dead. They were salted. We're going to eat them later on. We took the stone and we put them on the birds. What happened to the birds when we put the stone on it? The birds made tchaytam etim. They took the stone and they ran away with it. They flew away with our stone and they ran away. Okay.
Let's see this one.
Number 19 is coming from the Malbim. Okay. Asifina higufo shela adam. Okay, the boat is the person, the human being. Ha'even tova huma shala nekasa yakar biyote shishlo adam. The stone is the most important asset of the person. What is that? His sechel, his brain, his mind. Hatzolinam bikshu labi ita even tova lesfina. The diver wants to bring the sechel to the body. Hu ratza shadam mishtamish b'sechlo. They should have a brain, use it. Which means the brain will guide him to the way he's supposed to go. The snake comes along and he surrounds the Ibn Tuba. Who's the snake? Snake is Yetzer Hara. He doesn't let him use his sechel to guide him. That's the goof. Rabbi Yehuda Hindu'a Mazkir B'Meshot Shnei Nechashim. That's the two powers of physical, the two physical powers that are against men. What is that? These are the items that cause a person to go away from his purpose. That's mitaved, the ta'ava, that causes a person to go after the ta'avot of this world. Haderek letkaber al kohot ele shel hayetzer. And what's the first one? The selfishness. Selfishness and going after ta'ava. How do you fight these yetzarim? Uleshtamesh b'midat achzariyut. You have to become akhzar. You have to become cruel. The raven is a cruel animal because it doesn't feed its children. Which means al adam itakhzir al gufo val bnei beto. He has to be tough from himself, deprive himself from all pleasures of this world. And his family as well. He can't. If he's going to go after the pleasures of this world, he's going to get drawn in. So he has to be like an orev. So the orev comes and swallows the snake. The yitzhak is trying to get the guy to go after the physical pleasures. ולוותר על תענוגי העולם הזה, וכן להרוג את הנחש. אלא שבמשל, מחיים הנחשים זה את זה. What happens? One snake gives the other snake life. One snake died, the other snake revived him. שאם אדם מתאמץ ומתגבר לכוח מעורר לרדוף אחרי כסף. What happens? He overcomes the desire to go after money. So what happens? The other snake comes along and forces him to go after תאוות. Once he goes after ta'avot, he needs money to fulfill the ta'avot. Bingo, the kesef comes out. So it's either kesef, ta'ava. You kill the kesef, ta'ava hits you. Once ta'ava, the other one's revived again. So therefore, the two play with each other to get the person. So he says, "Haderech ba poel yitzradav kasher uroesh nimukav ena meshachnaim et ha'adam." So when he sees that his claims are not working, hu mitzayir et matarato kedavar hegyoni. Then he comes to the guy with a logical, he doesn't want to... הוא טוען שאין לו בא לפתות את האדם לדוף סתם. I'm not telling you to go after the pleasure just act like that. אלא שכן צריך לנוג על פי דרך השכל. It's logical. טענתו היא, כיצד יכול אתה להתאכזר כל כך על עצמך? You're being so tough on yourself. ולשפוך כביכול את דמך ודם בנימין. You're going to spill the blood of your family. That was the blood that they saw in the ocean. The answer comes and says, you're killing your family. You got to go to work. You got to support them. They're suffering. היצר רם לנצל את שכלו של האדם, משתמש בו לקדם... He's trying to push his agenda. The Yetzer Hara. Even though Yilcham bo Adam mechol kochoy, if the guy doesn't fight with him with all his strength, as Anu Sechem will take him away from Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Adam matzeach lamit et shnei nechashim. What does he do? He kills both snakes. Yuchal lavi et ha'even atova et sechlo lasefina. Now he brings the sechel. He overpowered the Yetzer Hara. Brings the sechel to the boat, his body. Kasher Hashem more lo darko. Az yitorelu bekerbo nitchiya kochot redumim. Which now, when he has sechel, the sechel is able to bring in his body strengths that he had inside of him that were dormant, that were never tapped in before. Once he has a sechel correctly, so that's the birds that were on the boat that were sleeping, that were dead, that were being salted. What happened? He put the sechel on it, and the sechel now was able to awaken these dormant potential that a person has. But what happened? So he says, אלא שכשסיפורים הללו היו מלוחים, המלח כידוע מונע מהמתים שיבאישו. What happens? The salt causes the, it preserves, it's a preservative. So when the salt was on this thing, which means they're trying to say that even after your sechel comes back, there's always the ta'ava dormant, lying dormant in the person. And if it doesn't constantly fight it, it'll just come back. Just because you beat the yetzerah today, there's no guarantee you're going to beat the yetzerah tomorrow, the next day. So what happens? You got the sechel back, you're going in the right way, but the two birds over there, they're being preserved, meaning the yetzerah inside of the person, it's there. So once he puts the sechel down again, it wakes it up again. Sure enough, what happens? You're back to square one. It flew away with it. Now he's got to start the fighting, which means you're never allowed to let up.
Gemara continues. Tarav Rabbanan Maaseh b'Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yoshua Shayu ba'in b'sfina v'ya Rabbi Eliezer yashin v'Rabbi Yoshua ni'ud. Rabbi Eliezer was sleeping and Rabbi Yoshua was awake on the boat. Nizda'za Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua got shaken up. He had fear. V'nin'ar, and he woke up. V'nin'ar Rabbi Eliezer. So he woke up Rabbi Eliezer from his sleep. Amar lo, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Mazi Yoshua, what did you get scared for? Amar lo, ma'or gadol ra'iti bayam. I saw a great light in the yam. Amar lo, shema einav shel Leviathan ra'ita. Maybe you saw the Leviathan fish. Dichtiv einav ka'afape shachar. Then the eyes of the Leviathan is like a light. End of the story. Okay, what's the explanation over here? So the Mefarshim explained the story over here is Sefinat Am Yisrael mehalechet b'yam galut achar ha'churban amar b'nemhar. The boat over here represents Klal Yisrael in the exile after the destruction of the temple. Al rosh shel ha'am ha'davui v'ratzut yoredet gezerot al gabi gezerot. On the Jewish people, unfortunately, after the exile, after the churban, came gezerot upon gezerot. Shekol achat kasher mekadmuta. Each one is harder than the one before it. Ubisfina was on the boat, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer is sleeping. He doesn't pay attention to what's going on. Rabbi Eliezer locks himself in the Beit Midrash. He studies Torah. He doesn't pay attention to the gezerot that are going on. Rabbi Yoshua is awake. He's looking what's going on. He's involved with Klai Yisrael. He's trying to defend them and talk like this. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshua used to go to the Caesar and talk to the Caesar in order to advocate for the Jewish people. That means Rabbi Yoshua was sleeping. He's learning. Rabbi Yoshua is the advocate. When Rabbi Yoshua was analyzing the situation, Rabbi Yoshua saw a light. He saw a light that's brightening the exile. And what is that? He saw that the time is going to come where the Goyim are going to make peace with the Jewish people. Mm. Which means they're going to give them freedom. And they're going to give them democracy. And the Goyim are going to allow the Jewish people to live as one with them. That was the light that Rabbi Yoshua saw at the end, that Klai is going to go through good times. So what happened? He got scared. And he woke up Rabbi Eliezer from his slumber. So he told him, what are you getting scared from? So he says, I know why you're getting scared. Because maybe you saw the Leviathan, which means the democracy is not always a good thing for the Jewish people. It could be like a sleeping whale. The whale, when it's sleeping, doesn't pose such a great threat. But when it's awoken, it has great danger. Also, there's a sleeping threat of democracy. When the Jewish people are able to live with the Goyim, what ends up happening? Assimilation. That's also a tactic of the Goyim. Like it says, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Sometimes Esav comes as a brother. And therefore, when he saw the bright light, he said there's going to come times when there's going to be bright light for the Jewish people. They're going to be able to coexist. And Rabbi Eliezer said, now I know why you're scared. Because maybe you saw the Leviathan. Maybe you saw this great danger that's going to face the Jewish people when the Goyim extend their hand to Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, that's the great danger of assimilation. Okay, now we go to the final story of the 21 stories. One time we were going in the Midbar, and we had a piece of meat with us. We had the shank of the meat with us. So we opened the meat up, we cut it open to take out its fat, and to make what's called nikud, to take out the gida nashen, to kosher it. We put the meat down on the grass in order to roast it. In the interim, we went to get sibeh. Sibeh is wood in order to make the fire. The piece of meat came together again. We cut it up into pieces when we were making nikud. Miraculously, the piece of meat came together as one. Udvinan, we roasted it when it was whole. Ki hadran lebatat resar yerheshata. After we came back to the place 12 months later, hazinu lahanu gumre davu kamel hashed. The coals of the barbecue were still, they were still burning. They were still hot. Ki atay lekamed amemot. When we came back to amemot, we told him the story. Amar liyahu esba samtere hava. That grass that you put the meat on over there, that's called samtere. It's a special type of grass that's put the, it's able to put the meat back together. Special grass. Hanu gumre, and these coals that are able to stay on fire for many months, diritmahavu. That's called gahalir tamim. These are coals that are able to stay a fire and very, very difficult to extinguish. Okay, not too much perush, at least over here, on this episode. Right? Just a special medicinal grass that puts the basar back together again. Sam hayim, it's some type of medicinal item. And the coals are the coals. Gahalir tamim. Baruch atah Adonai, v'lemin chalem shakonim baruch.
Amen.
Now we start to go back to the creation of the world. Vayevra Elohim et ha-taninim ha-gedolim. God created the great taninim. That's in Bereshit already, going back to the creation. What are these taninim? In Bavel they explained, Hacha targimu, what is taninim? Arzile diyama. How does he explain arzile diyama? The re'emim of the ocean. Some type of big re'em, a big creature. Right, Taninim Gedolim, the creature of the ocean called the Re'em. Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael said, Amar Zeh, Leviathan Nachash Bariach, the Leviathan Nachash Akalaton. The straight snake and the curved snake. Two different type of snakes. Because it says Taninim. Taninim is plural. Shnei Emar, Bayom Ahu, La'atid Lavo, Mashiach comes, Yifkod Hashem Becharbo HaKasheah. God's going to take his sword. And the Pasuk says over there, he's going to kill the Leviathan, Nahash Bariyah, and Leviathan, Nahash Akalat. That's the end of the Pasuk. So it seems there's two Tanilim, and they're going to get destroyed at the end of time. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Ma Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'olamo, everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, Zachar Unkeba Bera'am, he created everything male and female. Af Leviathan, so to this big fish called a Leviathan, or the snakes as they're calling it, Nahash Bariyah, Veleviatan Nahash Akalaton, these two snakes of the straight one and the crooked one, Zachar Unkeba Bira'am. God created them, male and female. The Bariyah is the Zachar, straight, and the Akalaton is the Nekeba. Okay? Ve'ilmalin is Kakin Zelazeh, but if they would have productivity amongst them, Maharibim Kol Olam Kulo, their children would destroy the whole world. They're dangerous themselves, but if they would go together, the offspring would be very, very dangerous to the world. So what did God do so they don't multiply? When he created the Zachar, he castrated him. So therefore he cannot have any children. And he killed the female, umlaha, and he salted it, in order that tzaddikim will eat from this meat, so she can also have relations with another animal. Because even if she had relations with another animal, it would also be dangerous. So therefore, the male was castrated and the female was salted for the tzaddikim la'atid lavo. Okay. Shnei emar veharag et ha-tanin asher bayam. The pasuk says, and God killed the tanin that was in the yam. Okay, so that's referring to the female one. Okay, ve'af behemot. What are these behemoth that the Pasuk is talking about that are in the mountains? Zachar unkeba b'ra'am. These dangerous animals, God created them male and female. Again, if they would have relations and they would be together, their offspring would destroy the whole world. So what did God do to these wild animals? Same thing. He castrated the male. And he cooled off the nekeba. Because the nekeba has a lot of ta'ava. In this case, he didn't salt it. In this case, he just cooled her down so the ta'ava will not control her. Okay, ushmaram. And they put them in like a private tzanua place where nobody could see them. Oh, ushmaram, he hid them. But tzadikim natid labo. So also we're going to eat the meat. This is the meat that we're going to eat, the special meat of behemot. Okay, shnei emak, the pasuk says, hinena kocho bemotnab, zeh azachar, that's the strength of the animal, that's the zachar, because his strength remains inside of him. because God castrated him, so his strength remains inside of him. That's it's in his loins. And the strength is in its stomach. That's the nekeva. Because since God took away the ta'ava of the nekeva, so her strength remains in the stomach, but she's not going to have any children. It just remains inside of her. That means she has no ta'ava. Okay, hatam now. So I'm going to ask some questions now. There was a different system when it came to the dangerous fish, taninim, and the dangerous behemoth. When it came to the fish, what do we do? God castrated the male and salted the female. When it came to the animals, God castrated the male and he took away the ta'ava from the female. So the Gemara asked, why the different system? So the Gemara's first question is, Hatam nameh, by the case of the Leviathan, lissarsil lezachar velitznina lenekeva. He should have just cooled off the nekeva. Why do you have to salt the nekeva fish? Just cool it down. What do you got to kill it for? So the Gemara says, dagim peritze. The dagim are promiscuous. Even if you took the ta'ava away, it would still get into, ta'ava trouble. So therefore, it had no choice but to salt and kill it. So the Gemara says, v'la'avid ibcha, which is do the opposite. One, you kill the zachar, and which is by the animals. By the animals, kill the zachar, and cool down the male. We kill the nekeva, and cool down the male. Why don't you do the opposite? Right? Kill the male. Right. That's the Gemara's question. With the Abid, Ibcha. Why don't you do the opposite? Which means, instead of castrating the male, you should have killed the male and sought the female instead of cooling it down. So Gemara says, Iba'itema, two answers to this question. One answer is nekeva miliha milache me'ale, which means the basar maluah of a female is better. This is for the tzaddikim atidavo. So we have a choice to kill one of the animals and salt one, right? So Yevora says better to salt and kill the female one because the meat is much better. So if that one was salted, it'll taste better for the tzaddikim atidavo. Ve'iba'itema kevan dichtiv leviatan ze yarsarta lesachek bo. The pasuk says regarding Leviathan, it says Leviathan ze yatzarta letzahek bo. Kivyachol, God plays with the Leviathan, whatever that means, and therefore it wouldn't be kavod for Kadosh Baruch Hu to play with the nekeva. So the nekeva he salted and killed, and the male he castrated. So the male Leviathan remains alive. Leviathan ze yatzarta letzahek bo. So therefore, it wouldn't be kavod to have misahik with the keva. So that's two reasons why the female was sold. Number one, tasty meat. And number two, lev orach, I love derech eretz for that. So the Gemara asks, ha'acha namelim lecha lenekeva, by the case of the behemoth, why did you say God cooled the female down? Salt it. Why only cooling down the ta'ava of it? Right. Salt it. So Gemara says, kavra meliha me'aleh. When it comes to fish, salted fish is good. Salted meat, not so good. So therefore, when it came to the fish, he salted the nekeva, better tasting. Mashenga the meat, when you salt it, it's less tasty. So therefore, he just cooled it down. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, b'sha'a shekadosh baruch hu, they brought the olam. When Borei Olam requested to create the world, Amar lo lesar shel yam. He told the angel in charge of the yam, in charge of the seas, "Petach picha ubla kol memot sheba'olam." Open your mouth and swallow all the waters in the world. Why? In order to reveal the areas that are supposed to be dry land. It seems God wanted certain areas to remain dry, so he told the malach, swallow the waters to reveal some of the dry land. So the angel said, which means it's enough for me to swallow the waters that I have already to swallow. It seems that the malach has to keep a balance of the water in the world. So he's constantly swallowing waters to keep the balance. So Chazal says you have to swallow more water. He said, I can't even swallow the water that I have to. Now you tell me to swallow more? Miyad ba'atbo. God got angry at the malach. Barago, Shle'emar, as the pasuk says, Bechoho raga hayam. In his strength, he split the sea. Ubetbunato mahatz rahav. Rahav is the name of the angel in charge that he sees. With his strength and his wisdom, he killed Rahav. Amar Yitzhak Shmat Minah Sarosh El Yam Rahav Shemo. The name of the angel of the Yam is called Rahav. Okay. The way they explain it is there's constantly new waters coming into the Yam. So in order to keep it from overflowing, this Rahav has to, we would call it evaporation, but it's the Malach that's, you know, drinking the water to keep everything here. So God told him to swallow more water. Like, even the ones that you tell me to, I can't do. So yeah, that was considered a rebellion. Therefore he killed okay? Which is an amazing thing, which is really the water should overflow the world. Without the Malach swallowing and keeping the waters at a balance, it would be overflowing. If the waters would cover, I guess this Malach, in kol b'riyah yichola la'amod b'recho. No, this is about the, this is talking about over here, if the waters would cover the whole world, if the waters would not remain where they're supposed to be, right, it would go past its borders now and cover the yabasha. Now that the waters stay where they are, they just cannot cover the whole world. What happens is the waters are stagnant. They stay in their place. The water should become stagnant and start to become putrid and start to give a smell to the world. But exactly. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he creates a flowing water. So the water is always moving and filters it. Because otherwise, if the water would just stay in one place like it does, it would get smelly, and the world would not be able to exist from the smell. Shne emar, lo yare'u velo yashchitu bechol har kochi. Umala'az de'a kamayim layam mechasim. Al tekre layam mechasim, ela lesara shel yam mechasim. Which means the water cannot cover itself. It says, kamayim layam mechasim. Water cannot cover itself. The water is the water. So what is the water covering? So it says the water is covering l'sarash el yam mechasim. Who's it covering? The sar. Who's the sar? The malach. Which means, they're explaining as keilu that God makes the fresh water come into the sea. So the fresh water covers the smell. That would be if the water would not come in. And that's what it means. Kamayim l'yam mechasim. I mean, the evaporation of the old water and the fresh flow of the new water covers it, keidu, and therefore the smell goes away. Okay. Okay, now we just go into reading where the waters come from. Yarden Yosim Me'arat Pamyas. The Jordan River emanates from the Me'arat called Pamyas. In Israel, if you ever went, they call that the Banyas today. That's Pamyas. That's the same place. Tanya Namehe, Yarden Yosim Me'arat Pamyas. The Jordan River, amazing. It comes out of the cave of Pamyas. Umalech biyama shel sibche. It goes derech yama on the I guess what do you call it? the west of sibche. Ubiyama. No, not the west. Yama means the river. The Jordan River passes through the river of sibche. Ubiyama shel Tiberia. Then the Tiberias River. That's like the Kinneret, umitkalgil v'yored liyam hagadol, and then it flows into the Yam hagadol, umitkalgil v'yored ad shemegel lepiv shel Leviathan, and that water gets to the Leviathan, to the mouth where the Leviathan is, that great fish. In Emar yiptach ki yagia yarden al ilpihu, which means the Leviathan is confident that it'll be able to draw the waters of the Yarden to its mouth. This is a miracle that takes place. Even though Yarden waters travel through many bodies of water, they remain separate from the bodies of water. That means even though it goes into the Tiberia water, isn't it? There's a mix. So when it gets to the Leviathan's mouth, he's drinking pure waters from the Yarden. Okay, that's one of the miracles. Matkif la Rabba Bar Ula. So Rabba Bar Ula has a question. Hai bebehemot bare alif ketiv. This pasuk of here is not talking about the Leviathan. It's referring to the behemot, the special behemot, this big behemot. That the water goes into their mouth, not into the Leviathan's mouth. When are these big animals confident? Bizman shemagiyah Yarden befiv shel Leviathan. So long as Leviathan is still drinking from the waters of the Yarden, that means as long as he's still alive, the behemot are certain that they're going to the coast. It says in the future when Mashiach comes or whatever, there's going to be a war between the behemot and the Leviathan. The Leviathan is going to fight over here. It's going to be a big war with it, and the Leviathan is going to beat the behemot because they're so strong. So as long as the Leviathan is still drinking, so he knows he's comfortable. So the behemot are also confident that they still have life. Once the Yarden starts stop going, then there's going to be a war. Then he knows he's in trouble, that he's going to have to fight the Leviathan. So as long as the water flows into the Leviathan's mouth, the behemot are confident they still have existence. Ki atar Avdimi, when Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ma'idichtiv, ki hu al yamim yisada, ve'al neharot yechoreneha, which is God established Eretz Yisrael on the rivers, and on the seas and on the rivers. Elu shiv'a yamim v'arba neharot shebekifim et Eretz Yisrael. Those are the seven rivers, and the seven seas and the four rivers that surround Eretz Yisrael. These are the seven seas. Yamash el Tiberia, Yamash el Sedom, that's Yam HaMelech, Yamash el Helat, some say that's Elat, Yamash el Helta, Yamash el Sibche, Yam Aspamia, and Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean. Those are the seven seas. Ve'elu en arba neharot, Yarden, Yarmuch. Okay, that's one Yarmuch. Then you got Kiromion and Figa. Figa is Amana. Oh no, Karmion is Amana. That's by the Damascus, and Figa is Parpar. Okay, different rivers. Ki atar avdimi Amar Yohanan atid Gabriel laasot kenigia im Leviathan. Malak Gabriel is going to get a trap, and he's going to try to trap down the Leviathan fish. Shene Emalik, it says, Timshoch Leviathan behaka. Iyov said rhetorically, in the Pasuk of Iyov it says, God's telling Iyov, do you think you could trap the Leviathan with your hook? Ubehebel tashkia leshono? You think with your rope you could trap the Leviathan? So it's mashma, Iyov not going to be able to do it, but somebody else will be able to do it. Who's that? Gavriel. Gavriel is going to be able to trap the Leviathan. But if God's not going to help him, he will not be able to do it. Shene Emar, ha'oso, the one that created it, Yagesh Harbo, he's going to bring the Harev in order to kill it, which only God can really kill the Leviathan fish. Baruch Hashem, Amen.